The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Not much to talk about tonight, so if you are coming here for massive news, just relax. We are here to chill. I've opened a bottle of doTERRA Alta. Very good wine. Very good Spanish wine. Come here, chill with me. For Thursday night, there is not much to say. The world is in shambles. The woman have been taking over the entire society and ruined it. There is not much we can do but to enjoy some alcohol and chill together. This will be my last show of the week. I'm going on a vacation tomorrow. Sean B says, I have wine. Well, good, good. Enjoy wine with me. A Spanish product. I was going to my usual wine store today, and it's been taken over by Chinese people. There was a Chinese woman and a Chinese man, I assume they were some kind of husband and wives. And I said, are you the new owners? And they said, yes. Well. And I've been delaying the show tonight because I was waiting for a doctor appointment on the phone. But my doctor didn't call me. And this is so frustrating. Because they set these appointments in advance, like 2 weeks, 1 month in advance. And they send you even the programmed automated call that says, you better be there at this hour. We're going to call you at this hour. And I'm like, okay, I'll be there. It's nothing grave, but, you know, just a regular medical checkup. And the doctors don't show up. The doctors are unreliable in Canada. They don't show up. They have these. They get their secretaries to stack their schedule. And it's like, okay, I'm going to give you one patient every 15 minutes. So you're going to be like a machine. And then the doctor just says, oh, well, today let's cancel the appointments. And so I've been delaying my show. I've been disrupting my whole day so that I could be there at this point to receive his call. But they don't call. And it's like I've enabled the checking on the automated call. They call me and it's like, please confirm that you will be there at this hour. And I'm like, yes, I will be there. Confirm. Number one. One, one, one. And you go through this whole system. And in the end, it's like the secretary is working hard, the nurse is working hard, the patients are working hard. All of this to be aligned, to be present at the time. But the doctor is like, I'm an Indian, sorry. Sean B says, send him a cancellation fee. Yeah, that's exactly what should exist, a cancellation fee. That should fix it, but of course it's not going to happen. They already have some form of a cancellation fee in the sense that they're paying all this stuff. They're paying for the software that called me automatically to do the call. They paid their nurse. they pet their office telephone with which they telephone people to confirm presence. It's a big problem of the crumbling infrastructure of Canada, which, of course, of course, is due to the changes of population that we have. Ty Rogerson says, then the doctor comes in and wants us AI to take his notes. Oh yeah, I mean, these days the doctor profession is very automated. It's all about the software, and you know that if your doctor wants you to have a certain medication, but it's not in the software, you know that in the end it's the software that matters, isn't it? You know that in the end, it's like, even if the doctor wanted to do the right thing, in the end, if it's not in the computer. So I'm more like, if I go with a mission to the doctor and I want something, I'm more like looking at the computer and I'm trying to channel, yeah, please write this in the computer, doctor, because you know that's the right thing to do, to write it in the computer. Cerebral Fiction says, does JF look at this chat? I do. Name a controversial person you'd like to see on the Joe Rogan podcast. And Ermina was saying JF Gariepi. That would be fun. That would be fun to go chill out with Joe Rogan. Maybe try to get him out of drugs. Try to convince Joe Rogan, stop taking drugs, Joe. It's not good for your productivity. You know, it can only make your life worse. Please, Joe, stop smoking pot. Former Obama speechwriter Sarah Hurwitz laments to Jewish Federation that people are finding content from Al Jazeera and Nick Fuentes on social media and seeing videos of the carnage in Gaza. Holocaust education has backfired in part as people see Palestinians as Jews victims, she adds. They think the lesson of the Holocaust is you fight the big powerful people hurting the weak people. Well, wasn't it? I mean, if there's anything to be retained from Holocaust history, isn't it this? It's that the weaks are faced with arbitrary demands from the powerful, and it's unjust, and it should be rejected.
I think that since October 7th, but really before then, there have been huge shifts in America on how people think about Jews and Israel. And I think that is especially true of young people. So we are now wrestling with a new, I think, generational divide here. And I think that's particularly true in that social media is now our source of media. And this, you know, it used to be that the media you got in America was American media, and it was pretty mainstream. You know, it generally didn't...
i.e. Zionist-controlled.
Express extreme anti-Israel views, you had to go to a pretty weird bookstore to find global media and fringe media. But today, we have social media, which is a global medium, right? It is shaped, its algorithms are shaped by billions of people worldwide who don't really love Jews. And so while in the 1990s, you know, a young person probably wasn't going to find Al Jazeera or someone like Nick Fuentes, today, those media outlets find them. They find them on their phones. It's also this increasingly post-literate media, less and less text, more and more videos. So you have TikTok just smashing our young people's brains all day long with video of carnage in Gaza. And this is why so many of us can't have a sane conversation with younger Jews, because anything that we try to say to them, they are hearing it through this wall of carnage. So I want to give data and information and facts and arguments, and they are just seeing in their minds carnage, and I...
What we're seeing is that the people on your side are absolutely refusing fair engagement of any kind. And that to go state your fact, you need safe spaces. You can't be called out in a free debate. You don't face free intellectuals who are just willing to lay out the facts in front of you. So just how strong are these facts that you need safe spaces to even begin to express them? Just how strong are these facts that you need to silence the other side for them to win?
Sound obscene. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, the very smart...
Those are special movements of the end. Someone on the regular chat, Ty Rogerson, called them problem hand. So it's like, there's really a problem in the current context of things and how the new generations are...
I think bet that we made on Holocaust education to serve as anti-Semitism education. In this new media environment, I think that is beginning to break down a little bit because, you know, Holocaust education is absolutely essential. But I think it may be confusing some of our young people about anti-Semitism because they learn about big, strong Nazis hurting weak, emaciated Jews. And they think, oh, anti-Semitism is like anti-Black racism, right?
Oh, yeah. They had this whole plan to look like the victim, but now there can be other victims. Now that's a problem. That's a problem. We wouldn't want Holocaust education to contribute to people having sympathy to Palestinians. We have lost control of it. How do we get that slave back in line?
Powerful white people against powerless Black people. So when on TikTok all day long they see powerful Israelis hurting weak, skinny Palestinians, it's not surprising that they think, oh, I know, the lesson of the Holocaust is you fight Israel. You fight the big, powerful people hurting the weak people.
I mean, it couldn't be more explicit. Yes, Ty Rogerson, it's a thread. I mean, at this point, they're just panicking in public, and it's beautiful to see. There's a viral video going over the internet about a mother punishing her son. She's called the teacher of the year. I think she's a teacher, maybe. And let's have a look. I actually haven't played the video. Let's have a look at what is this punishment scene that is making the rounds on social media right now.
Christian school teacher who was named Teacher of the Year was exposed for losing control at home, hitting her child with a belt more than 20 times, a moment that was recorded by her other child, who later uploaded the video out of fear. The father was out of town for work at the time and is now rushing back home to deal with the situation. Her name is Nicole Staples, a teacher at Cottage Hill Christian Academy in Alabama. At school, she was described as an excellent role model and a character education example. Awards hung on the walls, the school website praised her, and parents once trusted her with their children, believing she represented safety, love, and discipline. But what her own children saw was a completely different side. In the video, she raises the belt, striking the child again and again. The child cries uncontrollably, but nothing stops her anger from continuing. Police, Child Protective Services, and the school have all launched investigations. She has now been officially arrested and is expected to face multiple charges. What do you think about this situation?
Well, I think there are... I'm going to leave you for a moment. I'll be back. All right, sorry about this. as I started, you know, this call was supposed to happen hours ago, and I've been waiting all day for my cardiologist to call, but he ended up calling now. So it's like, yeah, I had no way to make it so that this call didn't happen during my show. But yeah, I mean, yeah, the good news is there's basically no no problem with my heart. So it was just a routine echographic check of my heart, because my family, we've had some degree of problems with my heart, with our hearts in the family. So I wanted to have an echography of the heart that shows all of the features of the aorta, the flow, the directional flow. And yeah, in the end, I am in a family that has some degree of cardiac risks, but there's nothing visible that's wrong with my heart at this moment. So it seems that I'll be alive for maybe 20, 30 years still doing streaming. And I can keep drinking wine. So let's restart, because now that my brain has been going away from attention to this, let's restart and see this act of punishment that was reproached to this Christian teacher, who was Teacher of the Year. She had the Teacher of the Year award.
A Christian school teacher who was named Teacher of the Year was exposed for losing control at home, hitting her child with a belt more than 20 times, a moment that was recorded by her other child, who later uploaded the video out of fear. The father was out of town for work at the time and is now rushing back home to deal with the situation. Her name is Nicole Staples, a teacher at Cottage Hill Christian Academy in Alabama. At school, she was described as an excellent role model and a character education example. Awards hung on the walls, the school website praised her, and parents once trusted her with their children, believing she represented safety, love, and discipline. But what her own children saw was a completely different side. In the video, she raises the belt, striking the child again and again. The child cries uncontrollably, but nothing stops her anger from continuing. Police, Child Protective Services, and the school have all launched investigations. She has now been officially arrested and is expected to face multiple charges. What do you think about this situation?
Okay, so people are chatting about this and saying, is that okay? Is that not okay? I don't have a super strong position, and it's like, personally, I don't punish my children physically, but my children also have been, they've been educated and they've been raised by a father that is extremely pacific. I understand that there are children out there with behavioral problems and that they're going to just test you to the limit and the limit. I'm sure that exists out there. But at the same time, this is not my way of living. This is probably coming from different parents than me. And it seemed to me back in my days when I was a young teenager, I was reading the news about Supreme Court decisions in Canada. And it seemed to me that the Supreme Court of Canada had confirmed that physical correction is not a crime, that it is not a physical assault, that it is not considered a physical assault. Now, I don't have strong opinions. I think that the thing is, if you start saying it's okay to beat your children when they push it to a limit and it's okay to impose boundary, when you say this, 99% of the people who are going to receive this message are retarded. And that's the big problem of public communication. What do you do with this? It's that you say something and then it's going to be applied by a lower IQ person than you in a situation that it shouldn't be applied in. Because look, is this guy really deserving of punishment? What has he done wrong? Well, according to the explanations that we've heard around this story, it would be that he refused to clean his room. So, Kevin Bacon says, woman cannot handle power. That's the problem. It's like, am I fundamentally saying there's never a situation in which physical punishment is deserved? Maybe there are. You'd want to try to avoid it. You'd want to try this to be minimal. But at the same time, I know that as soon as you acknowledge physical punishment at some times may be justified, then you have a Christian woman, Nicole Staples, and she's going to have her own conception of what needs correction. And she's going to be insane about it because she's a woman. And she's going to misapply it. And it boils down to the problem. It boils down to this problem. Woman cannot handle power. This guy is probably not benefiting from this punishment. If you think of punishment as, okay, when you have done a serious breach, like you've committed something akin to a crime, then the punishment comes in to put you back on the road of fairness and on a road of righteousness. But this guy not cleaning his room, that's his personal space. The one thing to clean his room is a desire of his Christian mother, who probably has some Puritan view of the world. Beating him for it, probably, eventually, down the line, is just confirming to him these females are crazy. They will beat you for unjust reasons that do not concern them. They are controlling, they are overbearing, they are stepping over boundaries that are not theirs to step on. And he's a developing teenager, so he's kind of a boy in the process of becoming a teenager. I don't know his age, maybe he's 10, maybe he's 13, maybe he's 15, I don't know. But I think that, yeah, that's the problem, is that in principle, do I think that sometimes a physical punishment that is largely symbolic, because the belt, I'm actually surprised that she's getting charged, because the belt is kind of a symbolic punishment. She's not going to break his legs with this. It's pure pain. It's a little bit like the pepper spray. It's almost fictitious virtual pain because it's pain on your skin, but it doesn't create damage. But she's getting charged for this. That is, on the one hand, it's surprising to me. On the other hand, I don't know. Yes, maybe she's doing something wrong. I don't know what to think about all this. I believe that, anyways, if you give that power to females, they're going to abuse it. The vast majority, 99% of, if you just say punishment is allowed, 99% of the punishment will be executed by people who are retarded. Doubting Thomas sends a super chat. Thank you so much for the support. He says, regarding when the system will collapse from your recent video, they will keep it propped up till the last of the boomers die out around mid-2030s. It's good. The year is 2034. We're all in circle. Cameras, media. We're all in circle around the hospital bed, where a boomer, the last boomer who has achieved 117 years old, is lying on their bed, and we're all like, this is the last boomer. This is this is the last boomer. Once they die, the system will crumble. once they die, it's really the world becomes on our shoulders. Like when this 117-year-old boomer dies, it can only be our fault from there. Then we can be free, says George Garros. Oh, God. So Dasha Nekrasova has been sponsored by the company Alp Pouch. This is the company tied to Tucker Carlson. I don't know what to think about this. Because Red Scare Dasha, isn't that a hyper-leftist communist, basically? So the whole Red Scare thing, isn't it the idea that she's a communist? I haven't watched enough of her content to determine, but just the way they were behaving, like fucking dirty cougars toward Nick. Is that the kind of rising voice we want to see under the umbrella of a Tucker Carlson? What is emerging here under the umbrella of Tucker Carlson with his Alp Pouch? Shadowed by Susan says, Dasha is a libertarian as far as I know. Yeah, okay, libertarian in New York, doing interviews on a New York grandma couch with Nick Fuentes. Sean B says, Dasha is a porn star, right? I don't think she is. I think she's just displaying short skirt in the Nick Fuentes interview for the purpose of sexual stimulation, but not as a porn star, but more as a thinker. She's a free-thinking, skirt-wearing woman. Shadowed by Susan said, Red Scare is just an edgy way to make out they are pro-Cold War Americana, maybe. It's not clear what the Red Scare reference means. Are we like the Red Scare? Are we the communist you should be afraid of? Or is it like the Red Scare, well, you should be afraid of communists? I would have to watch more material from Dasha, but clearly, Dasha had gathered an audience that was eventually partly offended at her getting Nick on. There was this whole conversation, should we platform Nick? To me, that's leftism already. If you say the word platform, you're a leftist. Except when I say it, because I quote other people saying platforming, but if you work unironically with the concept that talking to someone is platforming someone, you're a leftist, as far as I'm concerned. Plepides says, interesting fact, in Russian, Nekrasiva means ugly. Okay, she's not ugly, I would say. She raises red flags, but not in the physical domain. She is not ugly. Sam Harris is suffering from the same kind of nervousness and panic that we see in Ben Shapiro.
You mentioned earlier that you don't think the ceasefire is likely to lead to peace in the Middle East. Mm. Why?
I just think it's too deep a problem. I mean, one, Hamas is, you know, agreeing to a ceasefire insofar as they are. I mean, now they're killing their fellow Palestinians. And strangely, there's not much complaint about that coming from Hollywood or you know, any of the ceasefire people left of center who ostensibly are worried about Palestinians. But, I mean, they would agree to a ceasefire so as to regroup, to live, to fight another day, right? I mean, they're not, you know, people who are going to be happily shopping in whatever mall that the Kushners and the Trumps and the...
Absolutely no comment on the fact that there was continued bombardment after the ceasefire agreement.
Witkoff's build in Gaza City.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought this was Sam Harris. People in the regular chat are confirming this is not Sam Harris. This is Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller is a known actor from the Zoolander movie series, someone I greatly admire. I'm sorry, I thought this was Sam Harris.
A few short years should all this work out. I mean, they're a death cult, right? They're real jihadists.
And so always going back to the pro-Zionist positioning, which is what's so annoying with Sam Harris, because he tried hard on his philosophy. He tried very hard to give objective reasons for his beliefs. But when it boils back to it, when it goes back to, let's talk about Israel, always taking the Zionist side for no reason at all. Why would you talk about cult of death on the other side when you're not pointing to the fact that there's one side? There's only one side in this war that argues we should be able to rape the prisoners we capture from the other side. And in fact, it shouldn't even be criminal to do so. Now, you want to talk about death cult? You want to talk about you want to talk about what leads a president of a nation to completely bombard a civilian area to the point where there's not a building surviving from it? That's a death cult. Much more than a bunch of people driving in parachutes and trying to kill a couple of people on the other side.
Who really want things. They're not transactional. They're not secretly hoping to just be wealthy or just be, I mean, I'm sure there's some peripheral cynical people who might be like that, but the true believers are true believers, and they're in a religious war, not just with Israel, but with everyone who's not Muslim.
And even Muslims as well.
Even Muslims who they consider to be apostates. And so when viewed from, I mean, this whole peace process is not credible from the point of view of real jihadists, right? Mm-hmm. Like the people who are representing, you know, the other Arab interests, you know, the crown prince of wherever is just another apostate who would be, you know, condemned by Al-Qaeda or the Islamic State or Al-Shabaab or any of the other organization, including Hamas. I'm not saying all jihadists are the same, but they're the same in this regard, and they really are committed to a longer-term project of.
And how could we describe Israel? Aren't they committed to a longer-term project? Well, we've heard Netanyahu about this. Netanyahu said, this is our area. We'll determine what happens on it. We will colonize it. It's ours. No one can stop us from doing it. That seems like they're committed to the exact same long-term project that Hamas is committed to.
And
we had this other
murder
segment, right, here.
Politics, right? Like, this is there's no party left of center, real party for political assassination. And yet right of center, very prominent people from the president and Elon on down treated it like the first shot fired in the Civil War. Totally irresponsible, totally dishonest. I mean, these people were arsonists pretending to be firefighters. I mean, Elon jumped on X within minutes before Kirk was declared dead, certainly before his killer was caught, and said the left is the party of murder, right? And then I think some hours later he said, if they won't leave us in peace, there's nothing to do but fight or die, right? I mean, for 225 million people, right? So to have the richest guy in the world on the most politically important social media platform in the world say this sort of thing is just, it's, I mean, it's beyond reckless. I mean, it's just sociopathic. It's just, he is just flinging matches into a landscape that has been just soaked in gasoline.
What I love about Sam Harris is across the years, he's been developing a very, very strong inclination of the eye. And it's like Sam Harris suffering, it seems to me. What I record is the suffering in his face from not being able to face the world anymore with his arguments. Sam Harris, back in the days, didn't have this contraction of the eye. And he's more and more like, more and more like a pirate. And I remember he seemed very zen. He seemed very zen, like me when I speak on the everyday. But eventually he got, and I can't believe these Trumpists. Yeah, as far as leftist violence, there's plenty of it. Much more regular than right-wing violence. At the bottom of society, by the way, it's almost all leftist violence. It's almost all poor people killing each other, killing others. At the bottom of society, it's like seriously 99% leftist violence that you have at the bottom of society. In terms of appeal to violence, there's plenty that are absolutely not being handled with the same censorship that right-wing appeals to violence are being handled. You have the SNPikers of this world. They are not targeted with as much censorship as a Nick Fuentes and me. And yet Nick Fuentes and me, we've never called for violence. Never. I've been on the internet every night, a hour a day, since my young adult age. You won't find a point at which I call for violence. Diceberg says he is a vaccine shill and a gaslighter to boot. Yeah, that is correct. I have so little respect for the people who fell for the vaccines. There is this meme and this tweet going around where people say there was an IQ test in 2020 and you may not have passed it. And if you ever found yourself with a diaper on your face, I think it's a little exaggerated, but it's true that there was an IQ test in 2020. But what this meme doesn't reveal is there were a lot of people wearing the mask just to pass, just to not get annoyed and to get to a goal. I can understand this. I'm not saying if you ever wear a mask to get into a grocery store so you could feed you and yourself and your children, I don't think you are to blame. But it's true in a way that there was, and even some people accepted to take in the vaccine, and I don't blame them. Some people have said, look, I'm taking the vaccine because I'm going to get fired. Now, I know there are other people who stood strongly. People who were I knew a family with many children. The wife is totally dependent on the husband. The husband works at a given place, and they forced him to get the vaccine. They said, you have to get the vaccine or we're firing you. And he stood proudly without any plan and without any way to fully care for his children or continue being a male provider. He said, no, I'm not taking the vaccine. And they rehired him 3 months later. Now, that is a specific example of someone who stood by his ground. I think that someone like him represents probably less than 0.1% of the population. Cosmic Code says, how much you scored in IQ? I scored 129, but it was my first IQ test, and it was live on Warski Live. I think I may be, if I'm in a good situation and I'm kind of expecting and training and prepared, I think I could hit 135. I've hit 129 while reading the regular chat, while interacting with the crowd. Not bad. I don't think I'm a giga genius. Definitely when I see these Chinese people who can list 1 million digits of pi, I'm definitely not like this. But I like to think that I am a high intelligence, very high intelligence person. I see a lot of cultural victories, a lot of awakening, a lot of red pilling. What I don't see is pregnant 18 to 25 years old woman. Keep in mind, no matter how many political wins you think you may score, our civilization is dead if we can't shorten our generational length. Think about a span of 40 years. Suppose two parents make four babies around 40 years old, then die. How many people are we left with? Four. Now compare this to the same couple making four babies at 20 years old. By the time they grow old to 40, their own children have grown to 20, and each of them have had four children in the same window of time. You have a population of 16. Generational length is everything. You can keep it short or you can stop existing. None of our political victories will make any difference if we don't resolve the woman question. Extremely important. I was looking at my wine store and the new Chinese owners, and I was like, will I still be able to buy French wine here? In 10 years from now? Or will I have to buy Swiss rolls and Joe Louis and Monster canned drinks? We have to produce more white people, and this will have to be through insemination of 18 to 25 year old females. That's it. If you had bad luck in life and somehow the events led you to not have much children, and a 36-year-old woman shows up, do inseminate her. Absolutely. Do. But it's not going to be what saves civilization. You have to speed up the cycle of generations so that our exponential projection in the future is increased. And the only way to do this is younger families with younger parents. Cosmic Code says, Plapidas, I think you are right. I scored 142 last time and 148 when younger in spatial IQ, but JF is close to that 148 benchmark. Low IQ Andy on the stream just drove the optimal testing in sync. Yes, it's possible that my IQ is underestimated, because just being in the physical presence of Andy, it will reduce your IQ by a few points. I mean, just knowing, like, there's this monkey around me and I have to adjust the way I think, the way I speak, so that we can have a kind of understanding. Like, when I look at Andy in the eye and I say something, it's like I need my words to penetrate this brain, get all the way through. And yes, it does reduce your IQ when he's in the room. We have a resolution going in the Senate. Chuck Schumer says, I am leading a resolution in the Senate to reject Nick Fuentes and his white supremacist views. Anti-Semitism and white supremacy have growing and disturbing currency within the right. And Chuck Schumer says, we must all condemn it wherever and whenever it occurs. That is a resolution for now that is being pushed. It's not been accepted. India's reliance to stop processing Russian oil at giant Jamnagar refinery. India's Reliance Industries said it would stop processing Russian oil. I'm sure this is part of some pressure from various geopolitical interests to detach India from Russia. it's dirty against Russia. It's trying to isolate Russia. Whoever did this, is it Trump? Is it the US? Maybe. Or maybe it's European powers and Canada. It's like, why don't you let these other countries deal with the market in a fair way? Because we're supposed to be the countries of freedom. And yet we're telling other people, well, freedom is not for you. And it's not even for ourselves. There's no freedom inside our countries because we persecute ideological dissidents. We attack families. And then on the markets, on the international world, we also don't have freedom. Well, what's left? What's left of the ID of the West? RFK Jr. says, government going to figure out what's causing food allergies. Well, he told us we'd figure out what causes autism, and I'm not satisfied. I'm not super impressed by this revolution in science. I'm very enthusiastic about the fact that RFK Jr. kind of undermined the taboos and started exploring questions that basically were just not allowed. Not allowed thinking in the past. I want these questions to be allowed. Is this vaccine good? Are vaccines in general good? We're not asking these questions properly, and I'm enthusiastic about the fact that RFK Jr. came in and is allowing them. But I don't think you're going to find what's causing food allergies. I think that the modern chain of distribution is so fucked up, you have no idea where you would start. Even I'll tell you what, as a scientist, if you gave me full omniscientific gathering capabilities, if you said JF is allowed to gather any data by law, JF just drops into a McDonald's and he can just test the Big Macs, he can test the quarter pounders, he can test the little fountain side. You know when the Diet Coke comes out of the fountain? I could be swabbing into it. Even if I had superpowers, I don't know how I would find this an answer to this in the modern distribution chain. Because we've totally eliminated the control group. At this point, unfortunately, normies are trapped into a food distribution system that it's almost certain will be targeted with some sort of military psyop attack of some kind. And it's like, yeah, you're going to pay the price by your health. Someone, and this was one of the worries of my father. I was reading this article, I was thinking about my father. Before he died, my father has always been working on water pipes all of his life. He was a welder of water pipes. He eventually grew to be a manager of the welders and quality control expert of water pipes in cities. And then eventually, even his company changed and he had to change job. And he eventually got hired at a city council job for managing the water and sewer system. So really, he saw water pipes and water treatment facilities all of his life. And he was telling me, Jeff, I'm so worried. The entire water supply chain is subject to instant, easy terrorism. He couldn't believe that basically you could poison entire towns by just going at these specific water facilities. And, you know, it's just outside. There's just pools of water. This is the water that people are going to drink. And he couldn't believe just how accessible they were and how sometimes there's a little fence, but that's pretty much it. If you can jump above a fence, you can literally poison an entire city. And there are poisons that are delayed enough that you wouldn't know. Now, that's just the case of water, but think about everything we're eating. It's just impossible to have the quality control. It would suffice of one point in the chain that allows in the addition of some radioactive, lead, whatever substance that poisons everyone down the line. Sadie Edwards says, get a water distiller. I mean, yeah, but then you're going to end up with the problem that humans are not designed to handle distilled water. So even if distilled water, yes, will give you some guarantee, distilled water is not the way in which our body is supposed to ingest water. And it has a consequence. You will be leaking out ions, and they will have to all be replaced by the food combinations that you eat. And that's not an easy thing to manage. Anyways. John Drake says, zero water filter, and I use filters on my shower heads too. Wow, John Drake is really, wow, that's impressive, bro. You are really taking into your own hands the protection against the commons, basically, because the commons are about to be wrecked in the same way. It's super hard to get a doctor to call you on time at an appointment. Eventually, it's going to be super hard to get good city water because the people who are replacing the employees of these places, they are less and less intelligent, less and less competent. So we're going to have a crumbling of infrastructure, a crumbling of competency, and even an increase of tactical risks. So yes, as far as food allergies, what causes them? The 1,000 different things that you do today that you wouldn't have done 100 years ago, that's what causes them.